want to welcome each one along to our morning service on this Easter Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence with us in the Lord's house very much indeed. We pray that we'll know the presence and the power of the risen Christ amongst us. In Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 6 it says, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Remember, this is the Lord's day. The table before us is the Lord's table. We give this day to the Lord. We're glad to begin the week with the Lord's day. But ever keep in mind that the Lord's day is a memorial, a remembrance of his resurrection, the fact that he rose again from the dead. And that's the reason why the day of the Sabbath was changed from the seventh day to the first day, as the seventh day was a memorial of the finished work of creation. So the first day Sabbath is a memorial or a remembrance of the finished work of salvation. We're going to commence our service as we sing the words of the 44th paraphrase. It's based on the words of John 19 verse 30. "Behold the Saviour on the cross, a spectacle of woe. See from his agonizing wounds the blood incessant flow." The tune will be familiar to you. It's the tune Martyrdom, the tune that we sing "Oh, for a closer walk with God" to. So the paraphrase 44 will invite you to stand as we sing, please.
Save from the
just bow together in prayer. Seek the Lord for his presence with us today. Heavenly Father, as we gather today in thy house, our prayer is that you'll take our thoughts and our focus away from all of the things of this world and this life. We pray, Father, for this little while, that you'll help us to consider him, to consider our Saviour, the one that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. We want to pray, Father, that in this meeting today, that it might be as it was in the Mount of Transfiguration, that none might be seen save Jesus only. We pray, Father, for this time, that you'll be pleased to close us in with thyself. Our prayer, Father, is that you prepare our hearts now, even as we think of Calvary and as we consider the sufferings of our Saviour. We do rejoice in the finished work. We thank you for the sufficiency of that sacrifice. We thank you for the love of our Saviour that took him all the way to Calvary to die in our place, that he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Thank you for all in this meeting that are able to say that he died for me, my Lord and King. I want to pray, Father, that you'll be pleased even to soften and melt our hearts today as we consider the cross work of Calvary. We want to pray, Father, that you'll be pleased to draw us a little closer even to our Saviour. We pray that you'll lead us on a little further with yourself. Our desire, Father, is that more of Christ would be seen in our lives, that others might see more of the Saviour in us. We want to pray you'll teach us today. Father, open up your word. We pray that you'll come and break the bread of life to us. We rejoice on this, the first day of the week. We thank you for the Lord's day. We praise thee for a day that is given to thyself. Help us, Father, to devote this day unto the Lord, to the service of Christ, to the worship of our God. We pray, Father, that you'll bless our labours. We're glad that we can begin the week with God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We thank you, Father, for this day that reminds us of the resurrection. Even we think of last Sabbath morning gathering around the table as we remembered the death, the sufferings of our Saviour. But we're thankful, Father, for this day that reminds us that he rose again, that he triumphed over death and over hell. And Lord, we want to pray that that resurrection power of our Saviour might be felt in these services today. We want to pray you'll display that power, especially in the saving of the lost, in the saving of sinners amongst us. Lord, we want to confess to thee how often we think of these things and we sit unmoved when we think of all that you suffered, all that you endured upon the accursed tree. So we want to pray, Father, that you'll come today upon us in a special way. We want to pray as we think of your love towards us, that that might increase our love towards thee. Oh, we pray for grace that we might love thee more. And even, Father, as we love thee more, we pray that we'll show a greater love and compassion, even for our brethren and sisters, for others in the church, the congregation. Give us a deeper love for each other. Remember that great commandment the Saviour gave to his disciples and to the church before his death, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And Father, what a standard the Saviour has set for us, that we love each other in that same manner, to that same extent that he has loved us. We're conscious we can only do that by the grace of God. I want to pray, Father, that you'll bless us as a church, bless our fellowship here today, bless both of these meetings, bless the service again tonight. We pray that you'll bring in some strangers and visitors, even at this holiday time. Lord, put it in the hearts of some to come along to the gospel meeting tonight. We want to pray that you'll visit us in this house today with the salvation of precious souls. We are thankful, Father, for the children that gathered, the young people in Sunday school, the Bible classes this morning. We pray that you'll use your word. How we thank you, Father, for the children of the church, even all that are gathered in this service this morning. We rejoice in their presence. We pray that you'll increase their number amongst us. We pray that you will bring in other children to the Sunday school. We pray that you'll bring in other families to the church, to all the children's and youth works of this congregation. We pray that they'll know the blessing of God just resting upon them, Father, at this time. We pray that you'll lead this work on. Our prayer is that this congregation will go forward. We pray that it will progress in its witness, even here, Father, in this community. We want to pray for our whole denomination at this Easter time. We do thank you for the meeting in Martyrs on Friday night, the hand of God upon it. Thank you for all that were present. We pray especially that some of the young people might be challenged, that they might lay their lives on the altar for Christ. Pray there might be a surrender of their lives and of their talents, even in the service of the Master. We're mindful of the meeting again tomorrow night. Pray for your hand to be upon it. The Reverend Armstrong, as he will minister, encourage your servant. We pray, Father, as he leads our denomination just at this time, we pray that many might be enabled to be present at that service. Pray that all that take part will know the help of God. We pray that it will be a meeting that is a blessing, even from beginning to end. We're mindful, Father, of the outreach of Consider Christ, the work that was engaged in a few weeks ago, even as they'll go forth again in your will next weekend. Our prayer is that you'll go before them. Remember that county of Cavan, Father. May it be a county that knows the visitation of God in these days. We ask thee, Father, to remember the Reverend Porter, the Reverend Crane, and the Reverend Kerskadden as they're involved and lead that work. Lord, bless their labours. We thank you that this outreach is enabled to recommence again, to go forward. Thank you for all that were involved in it those few weeks ago. We pray that you'll add to that number for a mighty army engaged in that outreach as we go forth into our Samaria to bring to them the glorious light of the gospel. Encourage them, Father, in these days, especially with precious souls been saved and brought to Christ even in salvation. Lord, remember all involved in our meetings here today. Thank you for the teachers in the Sunday school and the Bible class. Thank you for their dedication to the work among the children. Thank you for the men in the doors, those that play the instruments. Thank you for the team engaged in the media work, all that have a part, Father, in the services here today. We thank you for each one. We're labourers together with Christ. We pray we'll go forward in unity as a congregation. We pray that the help of God will be given today to each one in these meetings. We want to pray, Father, it'll please thee to pour out your blessing upon us, that all of us that are here today will say that we've been blessed by being present in your house. We want to pray that you'll bless the work. We want to pray that the blessing of God might spill over, flow over from these meetings, even out into our families and out into this city and out into this community. May the blessing of God poured out upon this work, Lord, may it touch this community. May you come in revival blessing even upon this whole district at this time. So, Lord, hear our prayers and our cries. We do offer them to thee earnestly today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses together. We're in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. The 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We're going to begin to read at the 45th verse. So Matthew 27, the 45th verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts today. Now from the sixth hour, remember that would equate to our midday, the brightest time of the day. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Just to think of that, those words, "Eli, Eli." Think of all the names in the Old Testament that begin, even the name Eli itself. Eli or Eli, sometimes you hear the Hebrews pronouncing it in that way. Eli means my God. Elijah, my God is Jehovah. Keep that in mind as you read all of those names. It'll help you have a deeper understanding of the meaning. So my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. We'll just end there, the close of the chapter. And we're sure that the Lord will add his blessing this morning to this, the public reading of his word. I want to thank you all for coming along to the service this morning. We thank you for your presence and your support. We're glad to see all that have been able to join us at this holiday time. We appreciate your presence. Pray that you will know the presence of the Lord in the services here today, that your hearts will be blessed. We pray especially that you'll get a vision, a sight of the Lord as we study and meditate upon his word. Remember, it says in the scriptures, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And there's nothing gives gladness, especially to the heart of a believer, than a sight of Christ. So we welcome everyone along to the service, all the children, all of the young people too. We're glad of your presence with us today. We welcome each one that's watching on the live stream as well. We are thankful to you for joining with us at our morning worship on this Easter Sabbath morning. Can I take a moment just to thank you for your prayers for the few days that we were over in England, Wednesday through to Friday. We're thankful to you for praying for us for the travel. It went very well, went very smoothly, and especially for travelling or praying for the meetings that we spoke at on Wednesday evening and on Thursday night. We spoke on Wednesday night on the burnt offering and Thursday evening on the meat offering. The two go together. The one complements the other. As it was an Easter conference or an Easter convention, the theme leading up to Easter was subjects relating to the death and the resurrection of the Saviour. They were good meetings. They were well attended. It's just a little congregation there in Walsham, Lawillo. But there's a good number of visitors that come in from neighbouring congregations, even all across the county of Suffolk. Some folk coming in from other congregations where they wouldn't hear faithful ministry of the word. So the congregation there at Walsham, Lawillo, was very encouraged by that. They have taken in the past, I've preached there a few times previously, they have taken a number of copies of our paper pulpit booklet. They put out a little outreach magazine every month, and generally they take a message from the paper pulpit and put it into their little church outreach magazine. So they're getting a wider circulation all across that village and all across that community. They were keen that we would bring some volumes with us of the latest edition of the magazine, so they took 40 copies, a few copies of volume 2. They wanted some of the past edition as well. And we took a couple of bundles as well of the new track that the church recently printed on what the Quran says about Jesus Christ. So they are very active there in outreach. We commend that little church and congregation to you for your prayers, that they'll be encouraged and know the Lord's blessing as they seek to make a faithful witness for the Lord. As you think of the darkness, the great spiritual decline in the land of England. I did say to you, I think last Sunday night, that's the church that Dr. David Allen is a member of, who was previously the deputation speaker for the Trinitarian Bible Society, has been here and spoken for us at our midweek meetings a number of times. He sends greetings to the congregation here. He wanted me to stress especially that he misses his visits to Northern Ireland. You remember that he had ill health, was very ill with cancer, very low, went through some very severe treatment. So we're thankful the Lord has put his hand upon him and spared him to be able to continue his work. He stood down from his ministry with the Trinitarian Bible Society, but he made many friends in the churches here. And he's certainly saddened that he's not able to come over and visit as often as he used to. Our brother Cecil was asking me about that area that we visited during the week. And he missioned and evangelised and did a lot of outreach there in previous times. Knew all the towns and all the areas round about. He has a lot of happy memories of the missions there. So remember the work that our brother did, that even yet it will bear fruit. And even that our brother might be spared to hear of fruit been born from the evangelistic work that was done there those many years ago. Remember, please, the meetings this evening, the incoming week. Keep in mind the prayer meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. We would value your presence at the prayer meeting very much indeed. Remember the gospel service at 6:30. I'll be preaching myself. Come yourself and seek to bring others along to the meeting with you. We're going to be thinking of the subject of the veil at both of the meetings today. The subject tonight will be a picture of Christ in the veil of the tabernacle. So remember that special message, that special subject for the Easter Sabbath evening. Pray for the Lord's blessing upon the gospel meeting. Remember the Easter Convention, Service and Martyrs. That's tomorrow night, just the one service this year, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. The preacher will be the moderator. The singers will be the Greer brothers. There's going to be some missionary testimonies. Our sister from our own congregation here will be one of those giving the missionary testimony tomorrow night. They're also going to be highlighting the 40 years of prison chaplaincy that has been engaged in by some of our ministers. So do remember that special meeting. The details of it are up. There's an advert on our Facebook page. So if you can, do go down to Martyrs tomorrow night. The service here on Wednesday evening, our midweek meeting for prayer and Bible study, I'll be preaching at that meeting myself. We were to have had our sister, Miss Noreen McAfee, bring her report, show her video, her deputation meeting for her labours in Emmanuel in Uganda. Unfortunately, Miss McAfee has tested positive to COVID. She was to speak at the meeting in Martyrs on Friday night, wasn't able to go. She was to be in Resharkin at the missionary meeting last night as well, so she's very disappointed about that. They did make a prestate version of her deputation video to show on Friday evening, and some others are standing in for her at the deputation meetings over the next few days. Pray that the Lord's hand will be upon her sister, that she'll recover speedily. We will reschedule Miss McAfee's deputation meeting. It'll probably be on a Sunday morning, because all of the Wednesday evenings are booked up, but whenever we have made that arrangement, we'll make you aware of that. Next Saturday is the next Consider Christ outreach, again down to County Cavan. They had well over 50 that went with them last month. At the end of the month, they were very encouraged by that. They finished up in Corrigarry for some food and fellowship together. So remember the outreach. If you can go, if you'd like to go, contact either the Reverend Crane or the Reverend Porter. Make them aware of that. But certainly be much in prayer for the Lord's blessing upon the outreach. Next Lord's Day, the service is here the 24th of April. All the meetings at the usual times, 10:40 are Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 and 6:30 the meetings. The evening meeting preceded by the half hour of prayer, and Lord willing I'll be the preacher at both of those services myself. The next meeting of the church committee, just to remind the brethren, is Monday week. That's Monday the 25th of April, downstairs in the church hall in the will of the Lord at 7:30. Remember the LTBS TV recordings. That's on Thursday night, the 28th of April, over in the Lurgan Church. There is a list in the porch. If you can help, if you'd like to help with that outreach, being part of the congregation for the recordings that evening, please put your name on the list. Indicate the services that you can be there for, service or services. We'd ask if you can, please put your name on that list today, because LTBS need to know the details as soon as possible. The latest LTBS quarterly magazine is available in the porch. There was some at the fire door as well. So remember, the magazines, take those as you go from the services today. Just to remind you again of the mission conference, the missionary conference, been organised by the Mission Board between the 7th and the 14th of May. It's coming up very quickly, just another 3 weeks, and that will be upon us. It's going to be held in the Lisburn Church, kindly granted by the congregation there. So the board has produced some cards, double-sided, with all of the details of the meetings. They were distributed at the meeting on Martyrs on Friday night. So those are available at the doors of the church. Do take those familiarise yourself with all of the meetings, and we do encourage you plan to go down and attend and support that missionary conference on as many evenings as you can. The Reverend Foster has asked, the Reverend Paul Foster has asked that we highlight for you some activities of the Youth Council for the summer just lying ahead. The Castle Whelan weekend, the annual Castle Whelan weekend, will be from the 29th of April until the 2nd of May. That's just 2 weeks' time. It's for those aged between 15 and 29. Also, there's going to be an outreach with the Convoy congregation in County Donegal. That'll be between the 4th and the 10th of July, and it's for those who are aged 16 and over. And there's also going to be a mainland outreach organised by the Youth Council with the Tavistock Church. That'll be between the 25th of July and the 1st of August, and that's for those aged 18 and over. So the Reverend Foster asked that we would stress that the deadlines for applications for all of those is very fast approaching. For all of the young people, you can find full details of all of those, the weekend, the outreaches and so on the Youth Council website. So if you're interested in going, being a part of any of those, do take a look on the website and contact the Youth Council as soon as you can. We did highlight for you a couple of weeks ago the call that our brother, Mr. Matthew Higgins, accepted to the Limavady Church. And we mentioned that his ordination and installation was going to be on Friday night week, the 29th of April. We weren't aware that the venue hadn't been settled on at that time. They're going to hold that meeting in the Macrofelt Church, again kindly granted by the congregation there. So do keep that in mind. Friday week, the 29th of April, the Macrofelt Church at 8 o'clock, our brother's ordination and installation. And we do want to encourage you, if you can, if you're free that night, take the time to go down and give our brother and the family your support. Finally, we just want to sympathise with our brother, Mr. Cecil Spence, on the death of his brother, Kenneth. Kenneth's funeral was just on Wednesday past. Kenneth was a wee bit, a couple of years or so, younger than our brother Cecil. We're glad that Kenneth knew the Lord. He was saved at a gospel mission in a hall at Fruitfield about 50 years ago. So we rejoice in the knowledge and the comfort that he's with Christ today, which is far better. We know our brother Cecil feels the loss, especially so quickly after the death of his sister Doris. So we do want to assure Cecil and the whole family of our sympathy and prayers just at this time of bereavement and great loss for them. I believe those are all the announcements. We're going to sing a lovely hymn about the resurrection, the hymn 120. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory that thou o'er death hast won. The hymn 120, and again we'll stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. I just noticed as we started to sing that hymn that our brother Mr. Higgins and his wife and little Joel is in the meeting. So we do want to especially bid them warmly welcome to the service in Armagh. We'll take the opportunity while our brother's here to express publicly our congratulations and our delight on his call that the Lord has opened the door for him to the work in Limavady. We're very happy about that. It's an answer to prayer for us here in the church in Armagh. And we do want to assure you of our prayers for the days ahead. May that meeting in Macrophill be a night of blessing, and may the Lord's hand in a very definite way be upon your ministry and your labours there in the Limavady area in the days and years that lie ahead. So we'll have a wee word of prayer, please. We'll just seek the Lord's face together. Father, we ask that your hand will be very clearly, powerfully upon the remainder of the meeting. We pray for the Holy Ghost to descend upon us. Remember, on that first resurrection day, the Saviour came and he stood in the midst of his disciples and said, "Peace be unto you." And Lord, our prayer is that you'll come and stand in our midst, even in these services today. Come amongst us, Father, in such a way that all that are gathered will know the presence of the Lord in a mighty manner. We ask you to remember our brother Cecil at this time especially. We pray that you'll be near to him, to the wider family, at this time of sorrow, this time of sadness. We're thankful, Father, for the knowledge that Kenneth knew the Saviour, that for him it was absent from the body to be present with the Lord. We want to pray, Father, that you might speak in the family circle at this time, particularly to those that are not right with God. But you have assured us, Father, that you give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And our prayer is that you'll comfort our brother's heart and the hearts of the whole family circle. Remember our brother, Mr. Higgins. We thank you, Father, for his obedience to the call of God, giving his life in the service of Christ. We pray that you'll bless our brother. We pray that you'll remember Leanne, little Joel, too. We commit them, Father, as a congregation into your hands at this time. Remember the ordination installation next Friday night. May the power of God come down upon that gathering. We pray as our brother takes up his ministry in Limavady that you'll give him seals upon his call. You'll give him tokens for good. We pray that early in his ministry there in that place that you'll give him souls. And we pray that he might be used to build up that work both numerically and spiritually in the days that lie ahead. Father, hear our prayers, and we ask now for help in the ministry of your word. We pray for the touch of God. Remember, Isaiah knew the touch of the live coal upon his lips. Lord, give to us such a quickening touch, even this Sabbath day. Hear these are our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Matthew 27, the verse 51 is our text. It tells us in that place, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." It's interesting the word rent used twice in the verse, but it's especially the first part. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." For a few minutes we're going to consider one of the miracles of Calvary. Can I remind you at the outset that the Saviour performed various miracles, many mighty miracles, during his life, during the years of his earthly ministry. But I want to underline and stress for you that his death is also accompanied by miracles, the miracles of Calvary. And one of those is the rending of the veil of the temple. And we have read about it this morning. Our text speaks of it. At the very outset, I'd like you to get some idea just of the size of the veil of the temple in Jerusalem, because it was a vast curtain. It was some 60 feet high. My understanding is that this building from the wall on my left to the wall on my right is about 75 feet. So most of the distance from this wall across to this wall, 60 feet high. It was made up of four layers. It was believed to be about 12 inches or a foot thick, or 30 centimetres if you're more familiar with the metric system of measurements. It was made of fine twined linen. It was a tapestry. It had cherubims woven into it. So I want you to see it's clear, brethren and sisters, this was not a small, flimsy piece of material. The veil of the temple was something that was large. It was substantial. It was a very substantial piece of fabric. But yet suddenly, and in an instant, it was rent asunder. And I want to emphasize that it wasn't just torn anywhere, and it wasn't just torn in any shape. If you tear a piece of cloth, maybe something that you want to use as a duster, you just don't know what line it will take whenever you tear that piece of cloth. It could go anywhere. But that's not what happened here with the rending of the veil of the temple in Jerusalem. Luke tells us very clearly and specifically, it was rent in the midst. This was an exact tear. It was a tear that went right down the middle. It left the veil in two exact pieces of exactly the same size. So here, men and women, is one of the miracles of the cross. The vast veil of the temple is torn in two. Can I point out to you that no Jew will deny this event? No Jew will deny this miracle. Read any of the Jewish historians, even the celebrated Josephus. They all believe, will all give their support to the fact that this event actually happened. So here is a part, a very significant part, of the New Testament record of the gospel narrative that no Jew will dispute. This is an event that happened, and even the Jews will accept that fact. So this is something, brethren and sisters, that is an accepted fact of history. And Matthew says in our text, behold the veil of the temple. Remember, the word behold in the scriptures is like a stop sign. Whenever you read that word, the Lord's purpose there is to slow you down. It's to cause you to stop for a moment and to ponder, to meditate what is actually being said. So behold the veil of the temple. Here is something, brethren and sisters, here's an event that we should stop and consider very carefully, give time, give prayerful consideration to. This is an event that is supernatural. What is spoken of, what is recorded here, is something that is out of the ordinary. And that's what I want us to do just for a few minutes on this Easter Sabbath morning. I want us to behold the veil of the temple. I want us to behold the miracle of the rending of the veil of the temple. I'd like you to consider with me some of the great gospel truths that it teaches to us. Think first of all of the person. If you look at the words of the text, it tells us in the latter part, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Notice those words, from the top to the bottom. So I want to point out to you, brethren and sisters, this veil was rent, it was torn by God and not by men. The reality is that no man could have torn this veil. No man could get his hands to the top of it. If man had rent this veil, it would have been from the bottom up to the top, not from the top down to the bottom. So it's clear it was God himself that stepped in and destroyed the veil of the temple. It wasn't done by a violent mob. It was not the work of a group of profane priests. It was not carried out by any invading army. Think of AD 70, the fall of Jerusalem, Titus, the Roman general, bringing the Roman soldiers into the city and into the temple, and all the damage that they did to the temple at that time. But that's not what happened here. The veil of the temple was not destroyed by an invading army. Man did not rend this veil. The tear, brethren and sisters, was made without hands, because it was nothing less than the work of God, the mighty work of God, a mighty demonstration of his power. What this rending of the veil teaches us is the vital truth. It was God who opened the way to heaven for the sinner. You think of the Holy of Holies. It is a picture of heaven. The book of Hebrews teaches us clearly that it is a figure of the true. The tabernacle, the temple that followed, those things are a picture of heaven. Good to remember that, to study them in that light. And what we learn here is that God opened the way. God opened the way into the holy place. And it's reminding us, it's displaying for us, God opened the way into heaven. Here's a very powerful illustration of the great truth of Scripture, that salvation is of the Lord. It was God who provided salvation. It was the Lord that did the work that was necessary. Because just as man couldn't rend the veil, so man could not open the way to God. Man could not provide his own salvation. And I want to underline that for you this morning. You cannot provide your own salvation. If you're here this morning without Christ, without the Saviour, the message to your heart today is this. God has set before you an open door. An open door to salvation. An open door to heaven. And we want to urge you in this service on Easter Sunday morning, we want to urge you to enter in through that door, into salvation. We want to urge you today to enter in at the straight gate. So that's something about the person. Think as well about the priests. If you notice the verse that we began the reading with, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Remember I highlighted that the sixth hour equates with our midday. That means the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was very significant. That was very significant to the Jews. It was very significant in the temple. It was very significant to the work of the priests in the Jewish temple. Because that was the time of what is known in the Word of God as the evening sacrifice. Remember, the Old Testament teaches that every day there was a morning and an evening sacrifice, even on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, the morning and evening sacrifices were doubled. So what that means, this temple or this veil is rent at the ninth hour. What that means is there would be priests in the temple. They would be there carrying out their duties, their responsibilities. They would have been there at that hour offering sacrifices whenever the veil was rent. Philip Doddridge, a very noted preacher way back in the 1700s, a Bible commentator, said it was a high day. He said that Caiaphas would have been there burning incense. It underlines for us, brethren and sisters, the priests were there in the temple. Those priests witnessed this great event. Can you imagine the effect upon those men? Can you imagine what that would have been like for them? Remember, only the high priest could go into the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies. He could only do that once a year. If he entered in at any other time, he would die. So what that meant is that these priests, whenever the veil was rent, they wouldn't stop the gaze. These priests would have fled for their life, fled from the very scene. So I want you to see that God used this event powerfully. And he used it to speak in Jerusalem. He used it to speak especially to those priests. Do you remember Moses at the bush? The Bible says that the bush burned, but it was not consumed. That was an extraordinary event. And the Lord used that event to get Moses' attention at that time. And the Lord was doing the same here in Jerusalem. He's speaking to these priests. Think of men steeped, men hardened in religion. Remember, some of these priests were converted a little while after this. You listen to these words of the book of Acts. A great company of the priests were converted to the faith. Just think of that. Priests. Jewish priests. Men steeped in religion. They were converted to the faith. They were converted to Christianity. That's what Southern Ireland needs. Pray the Lord will bless to consider Christ outreach to that end as they go forth, that many priests will be converted to the faith. That's what this city of Armagh needs. So we think of a city that's steeped in religion, steeped in the darkness of Romanism. But you think of those priests in Jerusalem at that time. They were men who had no time for Christianity. They were men, and some of them had a part in the death, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's quite amazing that some of those men were converted. They were converted to Christianity. You ask, how did God get their attention? How did God begin to speak to them? Well, it was by a great display of his power, by the rending of the veil in the temple in Jerusalem. I wonder, brethren and sisters, men and women, is there something out of the ordinary, something unusual happening in your life? Maybe some strange events, things that are not normal. And you're wondering, you're considering, you're asking, what is happening? Why is it happening? Well, maybe the answer, men and women, is this. God's speaking to you through those events. God wants to get your attention. You've been ignoring the Lord, ignoring his word, the preaching of the gospel. And he wants to get your ear. He's speaking to you through those events because he wants to save you. Wants to save your soul. So the priests. Think as well of the picture. Can I remind you that this veil in the temple, it was the same in the tabernacle. We'll see a little more of that tonight. This veil is a picture. It's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews makes that plain to us. Paul, writing in the book of Hebrews, says, by a new and living way, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Remember the importance of comparing one part of Scripture with another. So as we do that, to think of what the Bible teaches us about the veil, and we see Paul's commentary upon it in the book of Hebrews, we see that this veil speaks of Christ. It speaks especially of his flesh, of his body. And remember that the veil of his flesh covered his divine glory. Just like the temple, the veil covered the Shekinah so that it did not shine forth. In the Old Testament, whenever the ark was transported, especially through the years of the wilderness wandering, it was always covered. It was covered by a veil. No one ever saw the ark of the covenant. And so it was, men and women. There's a parallel here. So it was when the Savior journeyed through the wilderness of this world. No one ever saw his glory, only for a brief time, only by a few, on the Mount of Transfiguration. But in the main, no one ever saw his glory because there was a veil. The veil speaks of Christ's flesh. And the rending of the veil, well, that reminds us of his death. And don't forget, there's a very significant truth here. Don't forget that the two events took place together. If you look at verse 50, notice that it says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. So notice carefully the two events, the death of Christ, the rending of the veil. The two things took place together. The two veils were rent at the same time. Can I point out that whenever the body of Christ was torn in suffering, that it too was rent from the top to the bottom, just like the veil in the temple. The New Testament records that the first blow the Saviour endured in suffering was a blow to the head. Before they spiked his feet, they crowned his head with thorns. Before they drove the nails into his hands, they had already torn the hair from his face. Before they pierced his side with a spear, they had beaten his head with a rod. So I want you to see it clearly. The Saviour's body was rent from the top down. So what a picture, men and women, this veil is of the sufferings of the Saviour. And can I remind you this morning, men and women, he suffered for you. He wasn't suffering for his own sin. He was suffering there for your sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. May that truth touch your heart afresh, touch your heart as never before this Sabbath day. One other thing I'll emphasise, that is the practice. Remember in the East that men rent their clothes. And they rent their clothes as an act of mourning, as an act of sorrow. In the scriptures you often read of people rending their clothes or rending their garments. For example, whenever the great general Abner died at the hands of Joab, David said to all Israel, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn. So the rending of material is an act of mourning. And this rending of the veil of the temple, remember it was wrought by heaven in the temple of God and God's house, because God was showing his grief. God was showing his sorrow at the death of his son. Heaven mourned the sin of man. Heaven mourned the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And God showed that grief, and he displayed it in a way that every Jew would understand, because he did it by rending material, rending the material that covered his glory. So let me ask you, men and women, on this Easter Lord's Day, have you ever mourned over the death of Christ because of your sin? Especially have you mourned over your own sinful ways? The fact that it was your sin that nailed them to that cross? You know, the New Testament speaks about sorrow to repentance. Just think of that. Not just sorrowed, but to repentance. To the place where it caused them to turn from their sins to Christ. I wonder if you ever done that. Have you ever had that sorrow? Oh, men and women, that it might happen today, that you might have it in your heart and life this very day. In the Old Testament, there's a word, a message, a verse that's especially relevant to this part of the subject. Remember the prophet Joel said, rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. So as I finish the message this morning, as I draw this meeting to a close, let me urge you to do that if you've never done it before. Rend your hearts. May you sorrow today from the depth of your heart. May your heart be broken. May your heart be contrite over your own sin. And may the result of that, men and women, be that you turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord today. What a difference it would make. What a blessing it would be on this Easter Sabbath if you could look back to it as the day of your salvation. So the miracle. Remember, there's miracles. There's other miracles at the cross. But here's the miracle of the rent veil of the temple. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word today to to every heart. 335 is our closing hymn. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. So 335, we'll leave out the second verse, we'll sing verses 1, 3 and 4, and we'll ask you to stand to sing, please. Thankfulness today, we want to praise thee for Calvary. Thank you for the cross work of Christ. Rejoice in that finished work. We're glad we can say with the apostle that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask thee, Father, to show us more of our Saviour, teach us more of all that he did, all that he accomplished when he died for us that day at Calvary. We ask thee in the words of the hymn writer, oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. Just what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to purge away my sin. We thank you that the way is open, the way of salvation. We want to pray there will be some here today that will enter in and be saved. You said it pleaseth thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Lord, we ask thee to use your word today. May it be the means of encouraging the hearts of your people, teaching us just a little more of the truths of the gospel. But Lord, we ask thee to use it in speaking to hearts and bringing men and women to the Saviour. We think of the words that we've just sung, keep us near the cross, bring its scenes before me. Lord, help us ever to ponder upon the love of Christ, and to live, as the hymn said, with its shadow over us. We pray we'll live every day in the shadow of Calvary. And we want to pray, Father, that it might please thee, even as we ponder these great things, that our love for him will deepen and strengthen more and more even day by day. So hear our prayers and go with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your presence with us today. We're very glad of your support. Good to see all that are out with us on this Easter Sunday morning. Please remember the meetings tonight. Come for the prayer time. Come that wee bit earlier. And remember the gospel service too, and pray the Lord will use the meeting and the message to the saving of souls. Thank you.